Hello, listeners. This is Josh, the radio pirate from Pirate Radio, along with JJ from Decent Exposure Radio. Both shows are part of Kick-Ass Friday on 90.3 WXLV from Schnecksville. We're at Croc Rock in Allentown right now, and we have the pleasure of being joined by Tom Gable of Against Me. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'll start things off. So how did you guys decide on Lemuria and Screaming Females to support you for these shows?
I'm a fan of both bands, really. I mean, and that's kind of always been the process for the bands that we tour with. It's especially when it's, you know, bands that we're taking out and it's our own headline tours. I really like to think about, you know, what do I want to expose our audience to and what do I think will be a good show that'll build in a cool way and what'll be a cool package, you know, and I thought that they'd be a good pairing together. I'd never met either bands, but we all have kind of mutual friends, so I knew it, or was guessing it'd be a good fit as far as like the dynamic for hanging out and everything. So far so good too.
You guys can probably, you know, get fans from each other, you know, people that like them like you and after this and all that. So let's see, lots of people enjoy all of your work and are willing to grow with you, but there have always been people who have resented the fact that you've grown from reinventing Axl Rose in those days. Have you made peace with the fact that you're a fairly polarizing figure in the punk music scene?
I really wouldn't read that much into it even. I think that anybody who's been involved in the punk scene for, you know, any period of time, more than a couple months, realizes that there's a turnover rate of kids as far as, like, there's people who get involved and, you know, then a couple years later they kind of move on, you know, and it's not even necessarily something specific to a band or an album or anything, but if I think about the kids that were coming out to see our shows, you know, when we were first starting out as a band, and compared to it now, it's like, you know, the good majority of those kids have nothing to do with punk rock anymore, let alone the music scene. You know, a lot of them are working, you know, jobs, have families, and just don't have anything to do with it anymore. So that's just kind of the way it works, you know.
In the not too distant past, you've expressed a lot of not so subtle disdain for plenty of authority figures, law enforcement, etc. Over the past few years, you've obviously become a husband, a father, as well as the other guys in the band. Has that changed anything at all, or does that go along with the whole "I was a teenage anarchist" theme?
You know, of course it's changed things. I mean, that's inevitable. Change is a part of life. And you know, for me, having a kid and having a family and everything like that just is really something that kind of made me more focused as a person and really puts things into a different perspective. You know, for me, being out here on tour right now, I'm really thankful to be here and I'm really excited to be playing shows. But at the same time, I really miss my family, you know, and there's the part of me that wishes I could wake up with my daughter in the morning and go on a walk with her like we usually do, you know. But it doesn't really have anything to do with the song "I Was a Teenage Anarchist."
When you were writing for White Crosses, did the idea to incorporate different elements, like the piano parts for Because of the Shame, was that something that just came naturally with the songwriting process, or was that something that the producer, Butch Vig, encouraged you to explore?
When we started writing for the record, we had a kind of extended period of time off, so I wanted to learn a new instrument, so I started taking piano lessons, and thus did a lot of the writing for the record on the piano, and was trying to incorporate it in there, so...
Now, maybe it's just me, but I kind of got a little bit of a Bruce Springsteen vibe off of that song. Was that kind of a coincidence? Obviously, the lyrics are very personal, and that's all you, but were you listening to a lot of The Boss at the time, or...?
You're talking about Because of the Shame specifically? I wrote that song as a tribute to a friend of mine who was killed when we were writing for the record. And her favorite band was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. And my friend Cece was her name. We used to work at the same bar together. I checked IDs at the door, and she worked behind the bar serving drinks. And when we get off late at night, like 3 or 4 in the morning, when we were done cleaning up, we'd usually go back to my house and just hang out and listen to records. And her favorite band was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. So I wanted to write a song, you know, that was a tribute to her, and I couldn't really think of any better style to do it in than kind of an E Street Band style.
We don't know what we're doing.
Wait, you guys are not professionals?
Damn it. What inspired the music video for "I Was a Teenage Anarchist"?
Well, loosely, I was beat up by the cops when I was 14 years old. It was the 4th of July in Naples, Florida, and I went down to the beach to meet some friends. They do the fireworks celebration there in Naples. And I walked up onto a little boardwalk. There was two cops there. They told me to get off the boardwalk. I got off the boardwalk. They came over to me again, roughed me up, took me over to the car, started slamming my head into the car, threw me in the back of the car, took me out of the car at one point, picked me up, threw me onto the pavement face first, put a knee in my back and a boot on my head and hogtied me, and then they were carrying me around like a suitcase and just chucking me around, threatening to kill me. I was charged with battery on an officer, resisting arrest of violence, and I was convicted at the age of 15. So when I was trying to come up with a video treatment for the song, I was talking with the director, Mark Classfield, and just told him kind of the experience, and I was like, I want to make a really simple video where we aren't playing music in it or pretending to lip sync along to the song, and I was like, I just want to fight a cop. So that was the video. Is that a problem, or should we it's only going to get louder.
Let me stop this, and I can quick take a listen to see what it's doing. We'll roll on again. All right, so Tom, limited editions of White Crosses had four bonus tracks, like the initial release. Was there any particular reason why they weren't integrated into the rest of the album and were kind of added as extras?
To be honest, that was something that was done that wasn't our choice. We were forced into that. I very much wanted the album to be a 10-song album, and because the record leaked, Warner forced us to put four extra songs on the record. So it was out of our control, unfortunately. I mean, we definitely, you know, we recorded those songs, and they're songs I wrote, you know, but that wasn't the way I wanted the album to be presented.
Well, they're definitely good tracks. I like them. Speaking of, as a side note, one of those bonus tracks is called Lehigh Acres. Curious about that because Allentown is known as Lehigh Valley. Any connection?
We were actually talking about that earlier today. The Lehigh Acres is actually referring to a place in South Florida right around the Fort Myers area, Naples area, which is where me and James went to high school and grew up down in Naples. But that's kind of was a lot of where a lot of people refer to as ground zero to the housing crisis or whatever, the economic crash or housing crash or whatever. And there's Lehigh Acres is kind of this development community that is like all these new houses that are just abandoned, you know, and just going to waste.
Speaking of beautiful Allentown, you've worked your way up in the ranks and paid your dues. Years ago, you played at a place called the Pirates Cove in West Coastville, which is literally a couple hundred yards from JJ's house. Any particular fond memories of the place or good stories from the times that you guys have passed through the area?
Yeah, as I said, you know, we were talking about it earlier. Me and Andrew were, and he was mentioning how he remembered there being a keg of root beer. So that's an outstanding memory for sure from Pirate's Cove. And now we've worked our way up all the way to Crocodile Rock. Look at that. Miracles can happen, kids. Two kegs of root beer.
One diet.
You guys have gone from those days to playing arenas, even with the Foo Fighters. At this point in your career, what's the most comfortable venue for you guys?
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the point of always trying to mix it up and playing different venues, really, is to put yourself into situations where you aren't comfortable or things that are new to you, because I'm just kind of the theory that makes you a better performer overall. So, you know, if you're able to adapt to playing in a basement, to playing in an arena, to playing in a club, then there's nothing you can't do, you know? But if you can only do one thing, then that's kind of a drag, you know?
So how did you guys settle on Jay Weinberg as your new drummer?
Well, we've known Jay for, like 6 or 7 years now. And Jay, we actually met him when we were on tour with the Bouncing Souls in like 2005, I want to say, or 2004. And had just, you know, become friends over the years. And he used to come out to shows and actually would jump up on stage usually and play the last song in the set with us. We Laugh at Danger and Break All the Rules. And this past fall, we needed a drummer. And Jay just popped into my head, and I was like, I should give Jay a call. And so that's just kind of how it works, you know.
Yeah, I saw some Nervous Energy sessions on YouTube, I think, and that was the first glimpse I saw of him behind the kit for you, and I was like, they're going to be okay.
He's an intense guy when he plays.
Fantastic drummer.
So do you guys write a lot on the road, or do you do that in the comfort of your own home? Or
Both, you know. I try to write constantly, but it always depends, you know.
some tours you get a little more done than other tours, but it just depends on how busy you are and what's going on, you know.
You guys just put out Total Clarity, and it seems you've been revisiting your catalogs and clearing house with your older albums. At this rate, are we going to see demo editions of New Wave and White Crosses in the future?
Well, I mean, it's something that we've done for every record. You know, we literally have multiple recordings of every record that we've done in different various stages of the process and everything. And it's something that we definitely would plan on releasing at some point, for sure. You know, I think a lot of the going back and live revisiting some songs has really to do with Jay being in the band now. And like, you know, there's certain songs when we were playing with George that he just never learned. And that, you know, what can you do if the drummer doesn't know a song? That's a pretty integral part to the puzzle. But, you know, Jay will be like, hey, let's try this song. And we're like, awesome. So, it's, you know, it's been fun.
Any ideas brewing for the next album?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hope, right now we're kind of booked until like September 1st is the last, or the 30th of August is kind of the last show on the books right now, and then we're kind of taking the fall off, and hopefully we'll be recording by then, so.
So, I'm just going to ask, have you heard the Rise Against track Architects? You're aware of it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you aware of the statement he made in Alternative Press, Tim?
I am.
Okay. Just wanted to get some thoughts on that, because I thought it was an interesting chain of events that occurred between the two songs.
No worries. Cool.
You guys can always start as you might as well. It's almost on the roof. That's the problem.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks. We'll be like 2 minutes. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I think that the song was misinterpreted by both Tim and a lot of people, you know. You know, for me, the song, I'm not asking myself the question, do you remember when you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire? You know, I'm asking the listener that question. I'm not saying that I've forgotten that feeling in any way, you know. I don't know. I guess I don't really understand Rise Against Politics, or I don't understand, you know, the statement, the revolution was a lie, seems to have, you know, for a lot of people, you know, put them really up in arms. And I feel like, well, you know, I always feel like asking the question, well, how the fuck wasn't it? You know, where's the revolution, man? What's Rise Against's revolution? What's their revolution? Is there a revolution that a bunch of people are going to start coming out to their shows and make them really rich in a really big band? Because that's been done a million of times before, you know? Is there a revolution that they're going to be poster boys for PETA while wearing Nike shoes? Because I don't buy into it, man. I think PETA's full of ish. I don't know. I think that a lot of their politics are kind of opportunistic and self-serving, personally. But, you know, at the same time, that's just my opinion and whatever.
Well, I appreciate the opinion. I was very curious about that. Just making sure this is still recording. I recently saw, actually yesterday, that you guys started your own record label, Total Treble Music. Care to elaborate on that decision?
Well, yeah. I mean, after kind of having experiences with every size label and every different kind of label you could really have, we were kind of faced with the question of, well, what do we do next when it came to for this next record that we're gonna, you know, that we started working on. And we talked to a bunch of labels and we kind of were examining our options, and nothing really felt exciting, you know, and so it was like, well, fuck it, let's just sign with no one, let's just do it ourselves, you know. So that kind of just feels like the right thing to do right now, you know.
Where did the songs from your upcoming 7-inch Russian Spy, as it called Enemies, come from? Were they leftovers from White Cross's sessions, or was it something else?
Really, there were songs that I wrote kind of around the time we recorded them. You know, I try to stay in kind of constant practice with writing and everything, and I don't feel like those were songs necessarily that were indicative of the direction that we're going in the next record, but I like the songs, and I feel they're strong songs, so I just kind of wanted to record them and get them out there for people, you know? I mean, that's kind of one of the advantages now of, you know, moving at your own pace and everything like that, and we had the opportunity to go into a studio and record them, so we did it, you know.
Yes. Any plans for another solo record?
I don't know if there's time. Got a label now to do it, so.
Imagine.
home is calling. But sorry.
So, last question I have. JJ has one more for you. What have you been listening to in 2011 so far? I always like to ask people this question. And anything good that stands out to you?
What have I been listening to? Jesus. I've been listening to the new Foo Fighters record. I really like that. I watched their documentary Back and Forth. Have you seen that yet? So good. Even if you don't like the Foo Fighters and you watch that documentary, you're a fan, I feel like. I've been actually, me and my wife have been listening to a lot of Nine Inch Nails recently. We went back and we got The Downward Spiral and Pretty Hate Machine, and those have been kind of on repeat in our house. And, yeah.
So. Very nice.
The Foo's new video, Walk, is really funny.
I saw it.
Excellent, yeah. All right, now this is the question I always ask everyone to wrap up. You're on a desert island, sorry, but you have only have one album to listen to the rest of your life. What is it?
Desert Island, one album. I'm going to go London Calling.
Perfect.
So those are all the questions we have. We know you're a busy guy, so we'll let you go. And thank you so much for sitting with us outside on the roof and talking to us. It was truly a pleasure. White Crosses and Total Clarity are in stores now wherever music is sold. And keep your eyes peeled for these guys. They're touring all summer. Do you have anything else to add, Tom?
No, just pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Cool.